Hopefully you're all having a very good week. Maybe cold, but at least we've had a little sunshine today. That was nice. It's good to be together this evening as we come to worship God, have our classes, sing some songs, and reflect upon God's Word. As we think about the things that Jesus did during His ministry, we recall there are so many miracles that Jesus performed, things that He did that were amazing to people. Of course, you can imagine they read about in the Law of Moses the various wonderful works that were done long before in the past, but there was many, many years that nothing like that had ever been seen. But here comes Jesus, and He begins to perform these great miracles. And in John chapter 11, Jesus would heal Lazarus. And it tells us as He comes to, you know, that particular place, the location there where the tomb is, and Bethany is close by in that area, and that's where, you know, Lazarus is from. It says in verse 17 that when Jesus came, He found that He'd already been dead in the tomb, or in the tomb, 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met Him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if You had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to Him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to Him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world." Here in these few verses where Jesus comes to Bethany and is confronted, or rather meets Martha, and she begins to talk to Him, we see the exchange here between the two of them, and he questions her concerning what she believes. And as she responds to Him, she acknowledges who He is, the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come in the world. But as Jesus speaks to her, He refers to Himself as something. He says, "I am the resurrection and the life." The Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the church in Corinth, referred to Jesus as the firstborn from the dead. Now, you know, we know that Jesus rose from the dead, but we certainly know that there were many others before Jesus who had been brought back to life, not only during His ministry, but even under the Old Testament. There were resurrections that had taken place. So Jesus wasn't the first to be raised. So how is He the firstborn from the dead? Jesus, unlike all of those others, rose from the dead, and then He went to heaven. Everyone else would be raised from the dead, but then at some point they died again. Every single one of them. They were raised, they lived for however long, and then they once again died a second time, and they went on to paradise. Here Jesus, being the resurrection and the life, speaks about how that others can have hope. Just like He rose from the dead and ascended to the Father, that's a hope that everyone can have. But it's only a hope that anyone can have through Jesus Christ. When He says, "I am the resurrection and the life," He says there in verse 25, "He who believes in me." That has a reference to a sustained faith. So is the indication in the Greek, that this is a sustained faith. It's a belief that continues. It's not a one-time belief and then you just live however you want to live. Faith that is a living faith, that is a saving faith, is a faith that is demonstrated throughout life by a constant, a continual confirmation of one's life to God's will, day after day, year after year, until We leave this life or until the Lord comes again. And when we have this sustained faith, whoever believes in me, continually demonstrating that faith through action, though he may die, he shall live. It's a wonderful thought to contemplate the reality that each one of us as Christians lives with. When we walk with God, when we are walking in the light, we have the assurance that though we die, we will live. Most of us think in terms of death being way off into the future. Maybe someone may think of that differently if they might have a terminal illness, or if they know that they're way on up there in years and they figure it's a short time now. But the reality is any of us could be just a short time away from death. But what Jesus shows us is that we can be presently living, but if we have believed on Him with this kind of faith, we have the assurance that even if we do face death, and even if it comes soon, we have no worries, no concerns. This is the way, in fact, God wants every child of God to live. Live a life without fretting, without concerns about death. A life of peace. A life that enables us every day to have a sense of comfort and assurance that we are held in the hand of a God who is preserving our souls, and that when we're faithful, there's no outside forces or influence that can change that. Nothing can alter that. The only way that changes is if a child of God chooses to depart from God and go, persist in sin instead of righteousness. But this statement by Jesus, this truth, will never change. He who believes in me has a sustained faith, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. That second part refers to the fact that the soul within us will endure forever. The body will one day die unless the Lord returns. We don't worry about that, though, because of the soul. Because he states here that whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. That's a reference to the fact that you will never see the second death. There's that as well, right? The second death is that severing from God that is eternal. That's what happens on the judgment day. When there are the summoning of all souls from the graves. When Jesus comes again, there's that shout. What is the shout? Well, we know on this occasion he said, Lazarus, come forth. On the last day, he's going to call forth all who are dead. And we know that there will be the resurrection unto life, and there will be the resurrection unto damnation. So, in the end, those who have lived according to this way, who live and believe in Christ, they continue to walk according to His will, they will never see death, ever. The second one. Because they will endure forever and ever. We sometimes slip and we talk about spending eternity, but the reality is eternity can't be spent. You can't spend it. It just goes on and on and on and on. There's no end to it. It's hard to even comprehend eternity, but that's what God has for us. And eternity in a place that God has prepared as a reward for His faithful. The picture of Lazarus being brought forth from the dead, a life animated again, a dead body brought back to life. That's the reality that will take place with every single soul that has passed from this life as a faithful servant of God. All will be resurrected, not to be clothed with flesh anymore, but the immortal body that God has promised. And then, forevermore in the presence of God, in a place of peace and comfort, where God is the light that shines on, in eternity, and where we enjoy all that God has prepared for us, things that remain a mystery. Mysteries of old were revealed as it relates to the gospel and the kingdom and the Messiah and all that God had planned. But there still remains additional mysteries that will not be fully understood until we pass on into the next life, into the reward especially that is prepared for us. The question we need to ask each one of us ourselves tonight is, am I on the road to receive that reward? If I am a child of God living faithfully, that's true. But you may be here tonight, not yet a member of the church you read about in the Bible. The sad thing is that so many people in our world today are confused because of the fact that the religious world doesn't even remotely resemble what it was like in the first century when the church was started. Jesus said, "I will build my church," Matthew 16, verse 18. So there was one church, that is, one body of believers worldwide who believed the same thing, practiced the same thing. There were no churches of men, denominations, all these splintered groups. It didn't exist. But over time, that developed until today, you know, there's a mass confusion. But we can go back to how it was in the beginning if we will allow the Bible to be our guide and if we will follow God's plan for how you become a Christian, what it means to serve God as a Christian, as it relates to worship, Christian living, all things. And if we follow the pattern given to us in the Word of God, we will simply be Christians, a part of the simple church that Jesus established, and we will have that hope. With sustained faith, then, we can one day receive the reward. If we want to become Christians, it begins with faith in Christ, repentance, or turning away from our sins, an acknowledgement of our faith, baptism, which brings us into the family of God, because in that act of baptism, sins are washed away by the blood of Jesus. And then we're added to God's family, to the church, just as we read in the New Testament. All of those steps we read of, you can read the book of Acts, the gospel accounts as well, and you can see how people were brought to Christ. And then it's a matter of living that faithful life, showing our love for God, our faith in God, by keeping His will. Are you ready for the day that is coming? The day when Christ will return, or the day when you will leave this life? Death comes to all, but those who believe in Christ with a sustained faith will never see that second death. If you need to respond to your Lord, we encourage you to do that as we stand and sing.